Pilgrims continue to pour into Rome and Vatican City to pay their final respects to Pope John Paul II before tomorrow's funeral. Among the massive crowds of mourners, there are more than 200 political and religious dignitaries from around the world, and an estimated 2 million Poles come to Italy to honor their country's favorite son. To give us a sense of the scene, we're joined now from his home by Jeff Israeli, Time Magazine's Rome Bureau Chief. Very good of you to talk with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
How big are these crowds?
They're even bigger in person than they are on TV. You see the images from above of that large boulevard leading into the square, the Via della Conciliazione, which is jam-packed with these pilgrims. But also the two parallel streets on either side of that via have been packed. They're thinning out now, but over the past 3 days, they've been packed with people. You can now see the beginnings of the security measures being taken for the funeral tomorrow morning.
And how much longer is it going to be? I guess we're almost 12 hours away from the start of the funeral itself. How much longer are people going to be able to come and visit the body before arrangements have to get started for the funeral?
Well, the time we were told is 10:30 local time, which is in a little less than an hour. It's unclear if that means the cutoff of when people can arrive in the piazza or whether they can actually arrive in the basilica. There was some fear expressed that some people who have been waiting for hours on end that they might not make it in and certainly would be quite unhappy. But it's definitely winding down. As you said, they've got to prepare the Pope's body. They've got to clear out the piazza, St. Peter's Square, where the funeral will take place. The funeral is scheduled to take place outdoors in the square. And then they've got to clean out the basilica and finalize security measures.
Given that, I guess it's impossible to characterize the mood of so many millions of people, but what's it been like?
Well, there's definitely a sense of being witnessing history. There are those who are more prayerful and faithful than others, but all I believe. Wanted to be here because they knew that this was an important moment in not only in the church's history but also in history in general. This man has shaped world events, has been a huge player on the world scene, and people want to take part.
Rome's a big city, but there are millions of people arriving. Where are they staying?
Well, they've got actually just this morning, Rome's mayor Veltroni made a public appeal to ordinary Romans to open their doors, a sign that all of the various hotels and hostels are in fact full. There are lots of young people as well who are camping out. They've set up the area, a university on the outskirts of Rome, where the Youth Day celebration in 2000 was held, where 2 million young people gathered. Many of those same young people are gathered there. There will be large screens to watch the funeral from there, and so many are sleeping overnight there and elsewhere in the city.
Well, we're going to be talking about the funeral mass itself in just a moment, but can you give us a weather forecast for tomorrow?
I actually have not just got back from a whirlwind day. I have not heard what the weather forecast is. It's been quite pleasant over the past week. It gets a little chilly at night, but then a little chilly early in the morning. I don't have a local forecast for you.
I apologize for asking you that question. Jeff Israeli, thanks very much, and turn on the weather channel, okay?
Yeah, and right away.
All right. Jeff Israeli is Time Magazine's bureau chief in Rome, and he joined us from his home there. As the crowds in Rome await, preparations continue behind the scenes for the funeral tomorrow. Nearly 80 heads of state, more than a dozen spiritual leaders from other religions are attending the ceremony, which will be also watched by millions on television around the world and listened to on radio by many more. Are you going to watch tomorrow? 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. And joining us here in Studio 3A is Monsignor Kevin Irwin, a professor of theology and religious studies at Catholic University of America. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation. The funeral will start with a private ceremony.
That's correct. Before the public mass begins, there will be a brief ceremony with the Holy Father being placed into a coffin. And at that point, his secretary and the master of ceremonies from the Vatican will place coins in the coffin, which were minted during his pontificate. They'll put in a small document indicating the highlights of his pontificate, a Rome written in Latin. And in addition, a unique feature, they're going to put a veil over his face made out of white silk and say some prayers over him as they do that, and then they will close the casket.
Mm-hmm. And what happens then?
Then the procession for the beginning of the Mass occurs, at which point what you would see in any particular Roman Catholic Mass of some solemnity, the procession with someone carrying a cross and candles and incense and the gospel book, and then the concelebrating College of Cardinals will probably be about 160 cardinals will be in the procession, including at the very end of it Cardinal Ratzinger, who will be the one who presides and will preach at this funeral Mass. Mm-hmm. And that's a good reason why you asked about the weather, because it's going to be held outdoors. So the first part of the ceremony, the private, will be indoors, right where the Pope is presently lying in state, but the procession will be outside to the Piazza San Pietro.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much, as you said, the Roman Catholic Mass, how much of this is tradition, right, and how much of this ceremony we'll see tomorrow is specific to John Paul II?
In 1969, the Roman Catholic Church revised the funeral rite, and so basically what the structure of the rite tomorrow will be that ritual that you would have in any parish church throughout the world for any Catholic. Particular ceremonies will be the introductory ceremony I just spoke about. The particular readings that will be proclaimed are chosen probably by the master of ceremonies from the Vatican, but again, anybody doing a funeral for a loved one knows that they have the privilege of choosing readings for their loved one's funerals from a list of readings that's in the ritual. So I would say probably 90% of this would be mainline Catholic funeral liturgy.
Mm-hmm. And of course, many years ago, the church said no Latin. We're going to be holding these services in the languages of the countries where we are.
Well, in point of fact, the liturgy tomorrow will be done in several languages. And for example, the first reading is going to be done in Spanish, the second reading in English, the gospel is going to be in Italian, intercessions in six languages. So there'll be some other languages in addition to Latin.
And totally appropriate, perhaps, for a pope who often addressed his audiences in several tongues.
Absolutely. Master of languages.
Let's get a caller on the line. 800-989-8255. Fernando is with us, calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Interestingly enough, I was born and raised Catholic, but I haven't been a practicing Catholic for over 15 years. I belong to a Presbyterian church along with my wife, who has been Presbyterian for the better part of 30 years. And over the last couple of months, we have decided to start looking at maybe joining the Catholic Church, in my case, rejoining, and even sending our children to Catholic school. And then this happened, and my wife has taken quite an interest in it. She's even gone out and bought the Complete Idiot's Guide to Understanding Catholicism, and we'll be watching the funeral here locally. It'll be on at 2:50 in the morning.
And so you're going to definitely get up at that hour to watch it?
I may not even go to sleep. but it's just how interesting that this all happened, and at a time when my wife and I are having a kind of like a spiritual reawakening.
Hmm. And that had to do with watching all of the concern, the death of the Pope and subsequent events?
Well, actually, this all happened even before. We're talking a couple of months that my wife and I started thinking of maybe joining the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the illness of the Pope, my wife would call me at work to give me updates on what is happening with the Pope.
Well, Fernando, thank you very much for the phone call, and I hope. Well, I don't know if you're going to get some sleep or stay up all night, but either way, I hope you have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the phone call. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. And there are an awful lot of people who have been touched so many ways by this particular Pope, Monsignor Irwin, even as he lay dying.
Absolutely. And in a sense, he taught us how to live, but he taught us how to die. And no mean trick in life is to know what really matters. Reaching out to so many different kinds of people, and you think of the, especially the Jewish community, and you think about the young people, and they're going back to the place where World Youth Day was in Rome a couple of years ago, was such a testament to the way he reached out to children, but then again to children of all ages.
We are talking with Monsignor Reverend Kevin Irwin, a professor of theology and religious studies at the Catholic University of America, looking ahead to the funeral early tomorrow morning, East Coast time, 4 a.m., of Pope John Paul II. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. This is John, who's with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I'm a sixth grade social studies teacher in Kannapolis, just north of Charlotte, and I plan to have coverage on as soon as my students walk in the door, give them an opportunity to witness some history. And I do have a little personal connection being raised Catholic myself.
Well, what time does class get started there in Charlotte?
It's going to be early, so we start at 7 in the morning, and I'm hoping to just get any coverage that I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. And, to give your students an opportunity to feel this connection with history.
Yes, yes. They have taken a great interest in it. I do teach the history of Europe and Russia, so it's within our curriculum, and they already have studied about Vatican City and the growth of the Catholic Church in Europe, so I look at this as a great educational opportunity.
A teachable moment, as they call
it. Yes, very
okay.
much so.
John, good luck.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. If they start at 7 o'clock East Coast time, are they going to catch any of this funeral mass? I mean, it starts at 4. Does it last 3 hours?
I don't think so, but you never quite know. That with the number of folks going to communion, I'm not quite sure.
Well, as I understand it, obviously these events do not come along very often. This pope has been pope for, 25 years now. Yet you were there the last time this ceremony was held.
I was. 1978. I was living and assigned to the American College in Rome, and so I was involved with some of the preparations of the Americans for this, as well as being literally at the altar and giving out communion at the funeral of Pope John Paul I, certainly nothing of the scale that this is going to be. But in fairness, the Vatican has had quite an important run-up to this in terms of the Holy Year of the year 2000 and World Youth Day in Rome. What appears to be a logistical nightmare is maybe just a tension headache. I mean, they are really prepared and have orchestrated themselves to do this extremely well.
And let's get another caller on the line. I do have to ask you. This is obviously an honor to serve communion at such an event. How did you feel? What was it like?
Overwhelmed. But at the same time, it was a very difficult moment in the church's life because we had a pope for 33 days. Most of us felt enormous, almost despair after the death of John Paul I. And where were we going? And what was God saying to us? It was a very, very uncomfortable time. At that moment, the consolation of the Eucharist, which is the food for the journey of life, was very important to be able to share with lots of different kinds of folks. And giving out communion in the piazza, it's every different kind of nationality and size and shape and persuasion. And all of that just reminds you of it's a very large, universal organization. And it's humbling and yet very, very encouraging to have done that.
Let's talk now with George. George calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi.
You're on the air, George. Go ahead.
Great. I'd like to start off by saying I'm a what you call a fallen Catholic for about 9 or 10 years now, and I have no intentions of going back to the church. But I just, even with that separation, when I learned that the Pope had died, I became completely overwhelmed with my emotions, and I found myself crying uncontrollably, and I realized that he was like a member of my family because I'm Polish too, and that connection did it too. And it just, I didn't realize until he died that how moved I was by his life and how much I actually really emulated him in a non-religious way.
What was it, do you think, that made this so emotional for you?
Well, for one, I was raised Catholic, like I said, so I grew up as a child my whole life has been him as the Pope, and when you abandon Christianity, it's usually for reasons of anger, and, you know, there's that anger involved, so there was that separation between me and him. But that's gone now, and with his death, it's completely gone, and basically I've forgiven the Catholic Church, and now I realize that I had, for him especially, I had no ever reason to be angry with him, and that I love him very much.
You're going to be watching tomorrow morning?
I will be, and I just realized just how much I really loved him as a person, and he was just one of the most amazing people who's ever lived.
George, thank you very much for that call. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We have heard, by the way, our research staff has provided us the information, 65 and cloudy tomorrow in Rome. So we're spared the effects of either blistering heat or a monsoon rain. So, Monsignor Irwin, I think things should go off reasonably well.
Absolutely. What good news.
Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Monsignor Kevin Irwin of Catholic University joined us here in Studio 3A. Coverage of the Pope's funeral will continue through tomorrow on NPR. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.